morning we'll take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Find Romans in the New Testament. First four Gospels, then the book of Acts, and then after Acts is the letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 8. I gave a general review of the first few chapters of the letter to the Romans last week. I'll just drop down in it particularly today before we pray and read and say that in light of the many things that we don't know in the Christian life, Paul has been mentioning here one of those, and that is we don't know how to pray as we should. And oftentimes we may think we know what we should pray for, and to some extent we do, but there are a lot of things in terms of God's will being done. We don't know the particulars, and so we don't know how we should pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit does himself. And in verse 28, he will say very firmly one thing that we do know. And before we read that, let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on his word. Our Father in heaven, as we call on you again in prayer, we're mindful that we come as those needing our daily bread, and you as our Father have provided good things for us. You seek to nourish our hearts, to make us healthy in a faith that honors you, and through which you bring us life and peace, instruction, help, clarity, and in all these things, our Lord Jesus Christ made more real to us through faith. We ask your blessing then on the word read, and as it's preached today, may you confirm it in our hearts as that which will bring glory and honor to him. And all of this we ask in his name. Amen. So verse 28, hear God's word. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Today we're continuing a study that we began last week on the doctrine, as it's commonly known, of effectual calling. In other words, that God purposely calls sinners to salvation in the person and by the work of Jesus Christ. It comes out of what Paul said to the Romans here at verse 28, that God refers to us as the called according to his purpose. You see it again in verse 30, that these whom God predestined, he also called, and these whom he called, he also justified. Now, this is not the first time that Paul mentions these things. Paul has spoken to believers as the called back in chapter 1 of the letter to the Romans. He speaks of them as among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Neither is it going to be the last time that Paul will refer to believers as the called. In fact, in chapter 9, he says, in terms of quoting the Old Testament prophet Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people, and her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. And so Paul, what he is speaking of here in terms of the saints as the called, is something that has very much to do with his wanting us to know who we are and how God has so identified us by the gospel. It is the distinct privilege of Christians before Almighty God to be the called. We are the called. And so last time we saw who is called. God, the active caller, believers called particularly, predestined sinners to salvation in his Son. We are those that God has purposed in eternity to be a chosen people, which, though a plan happening from eternity, comes to be happening then in time and space. Thus, the second point that we saw, how these chosen, how these people are called. They are called outwardly by a preacher, but they are called inwardly by the Holy Spirit. And though many may reject the call of the preacher to repent from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can resist the grace of God in the gospel by the Holy Spirit drawing sinners to salvation. That is an irresistible grace and thus an effectual call, or in light of Paul's own words, being called purposely in God's plan. Which is why I appeal to you again, that as a sinner, you need to come to Jesus Christ. God is calling you to believe on his Son. Are you a sinner? Yes. God knows that, which is why graciously he's calling your attention to Jesus Christ, that by him, by his death at the cross, by his resurrection, by his saving power from heaven, he can save you from your sins. And so God is calling you. He is really, sincerely, honestly calling you freely to believe on his Son. And it happens to be that he's calling you through the likes of someone like myself, a mere preacher of the gospel. God is calling you then to believe. The question again at the outset is, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be saved? What have you done with the call of the preacher? So today then we go further. And having seen these in some way last week, we want to look at three more points about this doctrine. The first then, adding to who is called, and secondly, how they are called, is when they are called. Fourthly, whereunto, or to what they are called. And then last for our series, why they are called. That's what we'll look at this morning. First then, when they are called, or point number three in our whole overview. When are sinners called? Obviously, they're called in time and space. They are called when the gospel is preached. They are called specifically when the Holy Spirit is acting upon them, convicting them, drawing them to Jesus Christ. But all that is very general, you may say. Give us some specifics. Is there not a specific day? Is there not a specific hour? Is there not a specific moment that you can tell us or give us? No, I simply can't. Even here, God will be sovereign. Sometimes we don't like things open and unknown. We don't like things vague. But the truth of the matter is that the calling of God is God's schedule. It's on his timetable. It happens, as Gandalf said when he came into Hobbiton, that a wizard arrives precisely when he means to. God, when he draws a sinner, does it precisely when he means to. When that ordained time is to unfold in time and history, it happens exactly then. Jesus spoke of it this way in John chapter 3. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know from where it comes or where it is going. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There's some mystery in the way God is working, that he doesn't really give us advance notice so much as he gives us the gospel. And through that time of the preaching and the Holy Spirit working with the gospel in our hearts, he brings about a new birth for a dead sinner. That's why our confession speaks to when sinners are called in this way. All those whom God hath predestinated unto life, and those only he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call. It's in his appointed time, his accepted time. Westminster Confession recognizes, as Scripture does, that God's calling and his choosing go together. And thus it is his appointed as much as his accepted time. Do we not read of these two themes together in the Scripture? We're told to be diligent, or to make sure, of his calling and choosing you. Paul says to the Thessalonians, God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. It was for this that he called you through our gospel. There may be a place for us when we disagree or dislike when a person says to the effect, I'll do whatever I want whenever I want to. Now, rarely that is a good thing. But God, good and sovereign, oh, it's a great thing that he'll do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it. And that's the way it is with the gospel. He will call sinners when he's ready to. He will call sinners when he wants to, when he has planned to, precisely when he means to. And don't you children love it when dad or mom, having spoken to the matter of an earnestly desired trip to the ice cream stand, when it seems that all hope is now lost as the day is almost over, says, all right, let's get in the car. Let's go get some ice cream. Well, is there any arguing about whenever the time is and I'll do whatever I want whenever I want to do it? No. You are delighted when that moment comes. It's that way with the gospel. God will purposely call when he's ready to call. Is that not the way it is when you look at your own life? That if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you came at God's appointed time. You came at God's accepted time. God will sometimes call at the 11th hour of life, like for the thief who died at the cross with the Lord Jesus. At other times, and in his own mysterious ways, even apart from a preacher, he will call some elect infants like David's at the early dawn of their too short life. For most others, he will call, and they will come at the first hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as many did at Paul's missionary trips when he preached the gospel and they believed. For others, like little Samuel, discerning God's call, it will come through a couple calls. Likewise, God will call children in their youth, gradually. Samuel, eventually learning to discern God's voice from what he thought was Eli's voice. Isaac coming to fear God under a near-death experience. Timothy having faith created in him under the careful tutelage of his mother and his grandmother. God will call at his appointed and accepted time. And even for some adults, even religious ones, God will be clear and the result of very precise helps that he will use. Remember religious Saul, that under the Spirit's conviction and Stephen's martyrdom, God used that for religious Saul even to come to realize that all his religiosity didn't bring about a true knowledge of the true God. The Jews, after a rebuking sermon from Peter, religious people, said, "What shall we do, brethren?" God calls in his appointed and accepted time. As Scripture says, now is the acceptable time. And again, God is calling you. What are you doing with the message of salvation? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, even in light of what you've heard this morning? Think of it, believing friend. What glory is this to a gracious God? Was it not the case with you? When were you called? Do you remember the time, if not necessarily the hour? There you were, nonetheless, unbelieving and a sinner before God, and then you became interested in the things of God. Something prompted you to take up the Bible and read. Something encouraged you or motivated you to get to a church and hear the message that there is salvation for you should you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What explains these changes about us? It is that God is at work calling sinners through the gospel message. God accounts for that change. Apart from God, you simply can't account for it. Which means then that we should be patient. We should be persevering with the conversion of our friends, the conversion of our relatives, the conversion of our neighbors. We don't give up on them, and we don't give up on God. We trust God, and we offer the gospel to every man, woman, and children. Your and my preaching the gospel is God's means of calling sinners. How would it happen normally, any other way? God has called you to bring the gospel to people. He's called me to preach the gospel to people. And so we shouldn't give up, we should persevere. We should trust God, we should be praying, we should be working for God in his appointed and accepted time to draw and save those that we are seeking to be saved. So that's the truth, something of the truth, about when sinners are called. It's God's appointed and accepted time. Secondly, though, whereunto, or to what are they called? God calls from. He calls from sin. But what does God call to? Whereunto this call? You notice it here at Romans 8. Verse 28 and 30, calling has something that goes before it, and calling has something that goes after it. Before calling, there is in eternity a being loved by God, being foreknown, being chosen by God himself. There is a being predestined, a determination that God, amongst all these others, will set his love on these. That's in eternity. And thus, in time and space, he will call them by the gospel. But after calling, you notice there in verse 30 that there is justification. There is glorification. The calling is unto justification and glorification. Calling is unto justification. In other words, God makes an inward change in you to awaken you, to enlighten your mind in the knowledge of the truth, to renew your will, to have a sense and an understanding of your need as a sinner before God, that you would look on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing, your sins would be forgiven. Believing God would not only forgive your sin and clear your account, God would impute or credit to your account the very righteousness and obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a wonderful doctrine, to think that there's nothing we can do, nothing we need do to be acceptable with God. That even though you may sin daily in thought, word, and deed, you're held in the very favor and by the merits of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see your disobedience, he sees Jesus' perfect obedience. And that's only through faith, friend. You can't work for it. You can't try better or try harder. You simply come as a sinner and say, God, this is what I need. And Jesus has it. So like the woman, if I could just touch the fringe of his garment and lay hold of that. And Jesus will publicly recognize that as sufficient. That's justification. And calling is unto that. It's for that that preachers preach. It's for that that the Spirit is working, that sinners will be justified before a righteous God. But there's also another thing, and that is glorification, which goes to the fullest end of salvation. We've seen eternity with God foreknowing and God predestinating and God calling sinners and God justifying. But glorification is when he, at the last day, or if you die before then, the moment you die, you are stripped free of all sin that remains. You are conformed perfectly to the image of Christ. And all those things that we never realize in this life about being like Jesus, God conforms us perfectly to his image, such that there are only pure things desired. There are only holy things done. That's glorification. And you notice that just as the plant is all there in the seed and the root that's under the soil, when it's full grown, you see it in its maturity. Maybe that'll happen to our plants and our gardens in due time. I've been waiting 4 years now for apples on my apple tree. But the days are coming when we will, God willing, see apples. The days are coming when you will be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's hard now, but Christ is conforming you. And glorification is when you're presented in the presence of God, holy and pure and sinless in the presence of God. Your calling is unto that. God calls from sin and death to salvation in Jesus Christ. But there's more than this, and Paul elsewhere goes beyond this wonderful summary of the whereunto, or to what we're called. We can think of it as like a jewel, where you take the jewel, and it's wonderful in just itself looking at it. But then you turn it under the light, and you see more facets of its glory. And as you look elsewhere in the New Testament, there's a whole teaching about this call that if we just turn it momentarily, you will see something to what the Lord has called you by the gospel. Your calling is a privileged calling. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 26. He said, "Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God." Has God called you? According to this verse, that's a privileged calling. How many people are not called? How many people are not being called at this very hour on this 6th day of May 2018? But you are being called. And some of you have already believed and responded to that call in faith. It is a privileged calling. It's also an afflicted calling. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where Peter, in this whole section between the bookends of justification and glorification, says, "You have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." You're not outside the will of God if you're suffering for the sake of the gospel. Afflicted, mistreated, persecuted. God has called you to this. And that is the way that you go, following the footsteps of Jesus himself. And so you need not be, you shouldn't be disillusioned. You shouldn't be alienated about any suffering you're enduring for the gospel's sake. God has called you to this. It's also a peaceful calling. 1 Corinthians 7, God has called us to peace. This instance of the believing wife who's abandoned by her unbelieving husband. No need to chase the unbelieving spouse around. Paul teaches there that's a grounds for divorce. And how do you know, O wife, whether you will convert or save your husband? God has called us to peace. Amongst relationships in the church, Colossians 3, we are called to peace. Brothers and sisters must know that Psalm 133 blessing of being united in a fellowship of fellow called people, the way we speak to each other, the way we treat each other, our affections for each other, we're called to peace, not discord or divisions. Paul says that it's a holy calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. God has called us with a holy calling. It's a holy calling. It's not a call to continue in sin. No, it's a call to be conformed to Jesus Christ. God has called you not only to believe on Christ, but to follow Christ, to walk with Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's a holy calling. He calls us to leave off sinful habits and practices, take up new habits of obedience, trusting God, walking with holy desires. We are called as saints, Paul said. We are the holy ones. Holiness should mark our thoughts and our lifestyles. Paul says it's also an honorable calling. As he begins the letter in Ephesians in the fourth chapter, in chapters 1 through 3 there, he talked all about how the gospel was accomplished for them. And then in chapter 4, he starts the section of application, which is, here's how now you're to live. And he says, therefore, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is an honorable calling. We are not to dishonor our profession. We are to walk in a worthily way of the calling with which God has called us. It's also a heavenly calling. Philippians chapter 3, we read that our citizenship is in heaven. Chapter 3, verse 20. In chapter 3, verse 13, it speaks of it as the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of these things are leading us toward heaven. This is the way that we enter into the kingdom. And as Peter said, make sure then of his calling and choosing you. Because as you do, the entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied for you. What is your calling like now? Are you about a privileged calling, an afflicted calling? A peaceful and a holy and an honorable and a heavenly calling. You ought to be, because this calling, for your encouragement, is a permanent calling. Remember that the gifts and the calling of God are what? Irrevocable. Irrevocable. And so what's held out for you, be pursuing it with all your might. When you came to Christ, remember that urgency, that fervor and joy of I must have it because Christ offers it in the way of forgiveness and peace. Have you forgotten that kind of fervor? Do you have that sense of a permanent heavenly calling? Give yourselves with gusto to what Christ has called you to. And that is because it's a hopeful calling. It's a hopeful calling. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says that God, as he prays, would open your eyes to the hope of our calling. To think that we are going to fellowship with redeemed men and women and children, to fellowship with angels, to be in the very presence of Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us, who by his Spirit has been guiding us every day of our lives. To think that we have the opening up on the day of eternity of things that our ears never heard and our eyes could never see, our hearts never imagined, of all these things that God has reserved and prepared for us who love him. We have a hopeful calling. Do not come short of this calling. All of these, as if flowers vividly reaching out from a vase, are stretching out toward us. They should delight our hearts with the things on which God would have us to look. We're purposely called by God. We're purposely called to God. And so we hear of the calling. As our confession says, this is a personal calling. Where is it that God has called us? Is it all these 7 or 8 features of a facet of the gospel? And all of these things, God, to summarize it, has called us to Jesus Christ. He's called us to the very living and real person who looks at us in the language of the Song of Solomon, as if through the lattice, my beloved is looking. Jesus is looking upon us. He's called us to fellowship with himself. That puts a whole new perspective on our calling. God has called you and I to be face to face with Jesus Christ. We will see him as he is, and we will be just like he is. It is to this that Jesus has called us. It's sad when preachers, and it's so common in modern times, that preachers are calling people to all sorts of things but Christ. Called to entertainment. Called to such things as feel-good experiences. Called to the comfort of tickled ears. Called to such things as earthly prosperity. Now God has called you to know Jesus Christ and to be satisfied with him. That's what I'm calling you to today, is to Jesus Christ. Think about it. Isn't that your greatest need? That you would receive forgiveness and grace and know Jesus Christ? Those of you who believe, isn't that your greatest desire in life and in death, is to know Jesus Christ? Thus it is that, as Scripture says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So who is called? The predestined. How are they called? By his word and Spirit. When are they called? In his appointed and accepted time. Whereunto the call? Jesus Christ. Lastly, why are they called? Why? Why are sinners called? That's a most common question that children ask. Why? Why? Why do I have to put my bike in the garage? Because you have to get in the car. Why do I have to get in the car? Because we have to go to the store. Why do we have to go to the store? Because we have to get a few things. Why do we have to get a few things? It goes on and on. It's a common question of children to ask why. It's a difficult and a common question for believers to ask why. Why do bad things happen to good people, we commonly hear? Why do the wicked prosper when the righteous suffer? Why do people suffer when there's so much potential for good things? Why has this person died so young? Many whys. Maybe we should add to that list, why has God even called any sinner? Why has God purposed to call anyone? Why has God created the world? Did God need other people than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the one everlasting God? Well, for sure, the question should be, why me? Why me? There are others better than myself. Why would God call me? What is it about me? Well, friend, it really has nothing to do with you, ultimately. It has to do with God, for the sake of God, creating and allowing the fall and calling sinners to be saved by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is not so much about us as it is the glory of God. It is good to say, why me? But the question really is, what is it about God that God would call? It's not about you or me, it's about God. It's made clear concerning Jacob and Esau, as we read last week in Romans 9:11. Though the twins were not yet born, had not done anything good or bad, so that God's choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. It was said to the older, you will serve the younger. It's not because of us. It's because of him who calls. Why me? God. Why would God call me? Christ. That's as far as the scripture really allows us to penetrate. Maybe it is that in all eternity, God will be answering that question and showing us the depths of his love and his kindness through Jesus Christ. We're called of God and we're called for God. God loved, God foreknew, God predestined, God called, God justified, God glorified, and God will be enjoined to the uttermost recesses of eternity. This is all for God. It's not that God is obligated. It's not that God is cornered. It's not that God had this like plan B. No, this was plan A all the time. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Why me? God. That's what our confession says. All those whom God hath predestinated unto life, and those only he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call. God is pleased to. God is pleased to. That's why there are so many accompanying statements of grace in our confession. It's why Paul speaks of the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That's why Paul speaks of the kind intention of his will, all to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's that the grace of God would be magnified. And so as beloved children, we ask of God, why am I purposely called? It's because of my free grace, everlasting love, God replies. But why, we continue. It's because of my free and everlasting love and grace, God continues. But why me? As I've said, it's because of my free grace and everlasting love for you. Are these things hard for us to accept? Really? We should glory that God himself is the reason for this grace of salvation. It pleased him. Now, what does this mean for us in closing? It means that in all of this doctrine of effectual call, we look at the way Paul continued it in Romans chapter 8. And although we will not, our series on effectual call is now done. But look at where Paul goes from here. And this is how you and I must go from here. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? Friend, I offer you a life of confidence, a life of comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. If God is for us, who is against us? If God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? And you know the way the chapter goes and ends, that there is a confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It was that love that called us, and it's that love that keeps us, and it's that love that brings us to God Himself in the end. And so effectual calling, all these aspects of the calling, but also that you will see yourself favored by God before the very person of Jesus Christ. You, believer, are the called. God is the caller, and we are the called. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, we give thanks that we're merely scratching the surface of all of this rich grace contained for us in the gospel, in Christ Himself. Lord, you've opened our eyes to this point. Continue to open them as our days continue. And as that day of eternity dawns upon us, Lord, make us ready. And in that moment, make us even more joyful than what we've ever known, to be satisfied with Jesus Christ and His grace to sinners such as ourselves. Lord, bless this word in our hearts. May it echo, may it reverberate, may it redound to the glory of God, as we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.